Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We are finishing up our staycation series. So if this is your first time here, we have spent the last month resetting in Jesus and learning how to rest in Him. And so I want to do a quick review. Week one, we talked about two truths we need to believe to have a staycation in Christ. I am secure in Christ and not abandoned, and God is more than enough. Week two, Pastor Caleb brought a message on discovering the joy around you. And week three, we talked about God's power is stronger than the prisons that surround you. You can staycation anywhere, just like Paul, because Paul was writing Philippians from a prison, and yet he was talking about being citizens of heaven. So before we dive into it this morning, I want to start with my very important two intros that I always do here. What did the ocean say to the shore? Nothing, it just waved. There we go, a couple people got that. What's worse than raining cats and dogs? Hailing taxis. That took a minute. I don't know if you've ever been on vacation in New York City, but that's true. It is worse, right? So I was looking at staycations and where they were, where they originated from. It was coined in 1944 during World War II, and it was used in ads to promote saving gasoline. And the Cincinnati Enquirer advised readers to take a staycation instead of vacation to support the war effort. That's the origin of staycations. I thought that was interesting. I would not have guessed that. And then if you look it up on Google, you'll see staycations came back in 08, and then they came back in 2020. And so they tend to come back anytime it's hard to get away. Who had a hard time getting away this summer? All right, a few of us. If you were here last Sunday, you heard my horrifying journey to Tennessee with my three-month-old. And I would have wished I had a staycation at that moment, trying to get there, right? And so staycations, the definition is, hold on, let me bring it up here, a vacation spent in one's home country rather than abroad. And our theme key verse here is, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Philippians 3:20. Another version of that says, but we are a colony of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been talking about this month how you do not have to die and go to heaven to enjoy heaven's benefits or Jesus' authority in your life. You can have a heavenly staycation through your identity in Christ on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So if you're a teenager here, I hope you got the handout, fill in the blank. You're going to want to whip that out, and we are going to get started. So today's message is a foundational message, and I kept meditating and praying into this Sunday, and I kept just coming back to a foundational truth. So is it okay if we kind of just keep it simple this morning? But how many know the simple gospel is what saves us? Amen? And so today we're talking about having a staycation with Jesus. Can we just say with Jesus? Have you ever been on a vacation with somebody that you thought you liked until you went on vacation with them? Anybody? All right. I tell you what, my husband and I, on the last day, I'm going here, of our honeymoon, oh yes, I went there. We had a phenomenal time up until the last 2 days. And then we got to know each other. I don't even remember what we were arguing about. And we were both like having this fight, and it was at a restaurant. It's so embarrassing looking back. I'm like, oh my gosh, the waitress probably thought we were like, I don't even know what. And we're like, no, we're on our honeymoon. We love each other, right? But when you go on a trip, you get to know each other in a whole new way, right? And sometimes you get to know yourself, and you're the person you don't want to be with. Ooh. Has anyone ever been there? I've been there, right? I get away, and my mind is going a million miles a second. And it's stressed, and it's stuck on something. And I'm like, man, I wish I hadn't gone away with myself, right? I would love to be with anybody else but me right now. And so when you are on a staycation, and staycation just means really resting in our identity, right? We are a citizen of heaven on earth. That's the definition of staycation. But if you are on a staycation, if you are staying present with anybody other than Jesus, you do not want to be there. Amen? So we're going to anchor this morning's message in Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about the baptism of Jesus, because we're going to be doing baptisms. And I want to put this out here. Normally we have like a full worship team, and we do a whole party with the baptisms during worship, and I love it. It's my favorite. But today, Brian and I were praying, and we felt like we were supposed to do baptisms at the end of service today. So it's a little bit out of order than normal, and we're doing that because I want to put out the invitation. If while this message is happening, or maybe even during worship already, you have felt the nudge to get baptized. I don't care if you're wearing keep all your clothes, right? What I mean is, if you don't have your bathing suit on, that's fine, right? I've gone in that tub in pants and a t-shirt before, and that's totally cool. So I want to put that out to you. If God is stirring on your heart, if you have been born again, if you've invited Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you haven't taken that next step to get baptized, God wants to invite you to do that this morning, all right? And so I'll put out an invitation at the end. We have at least one person doing it that knows they're doing it, but I want to put it out that anybody is welcome to come forward at that time to get baptized, all right? So Matthew 3, that was supposed to give you enough time to get there, but I didn't hear any pages turning, so let's just make sure, all right? Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, here we go. That's not mine. All right, we're good. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him. Has Jesus ever come to you and you're like, ah, Jesus, you have better places to be, right? What are you doing here? Nobody here this morning, right? John said, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. Can you just say opened?
Open.
And then heaven was closed. Is that in there? No. Fun fact, it never says heaven closed back up. I love that. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. My prayer for anyone getting baptized this morning is that you would hear the Father's heart towards you in a deeper and stronger way than you ever have as you get baptized.
Amen.
Amen. I was thinking this morning about abiding and staying, and I was going to bring a seed, but I don't have a seed. But can we just all pretend I got a flower seed? How about a mustard seed? Y'all wouldn't know if I don't have one anyway. It's too small, right? All right, so let's pretend I got a mustard seed, and I want to plant it in the soil, right? Now, how many have the gift of faith, right? In a church that believes that Holy Spirit and God is alive and moving today in miracles just like he was thousands of years ago, we have the gift of faith, right? So I'm planting the seed of mustard, and I'm putting it in the ground right now, and I have the faith that it is going to turn into a grapefruit tree. Would you call that faith, or would you call that stupid, right? I say that lightly, right? What we plant has a harvest, right? It matters what you abide in, right? So if I plant a mustard seed and I have faith for a grapefruit tree, what would you say to that? Maybe I need to go back to Jesus, right? Even if I'm working really hard at watering it, I'm giving it all the sunshine it needs. Does it matter? Well, no, because it's not a grapefruit seed, right? John chapter 14, 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you, can you say abide in me? That word abide means to remain, to stay, right? Like a staycation, to stay in Jesus, to continue, to dwell, to endure. And what kind of seed determines the fruit? Where you abide determines the fruit of your life. Have you ever started having bad fruit in your life? You've started feeling offense, which, by the way, is going to be a small group. Yes, everyone who's offended can come to it. No, no, it's called Undefendable. It's a small group series that we'll be running this fall. But have you ever started to feel offense towards someone or bitterness? And you're like, where is this coming from? Well, it didn't just drop down, right? There are seeds that we didn't give back to Jesus. That thing that person said, instead of giving it to God and surrendering, like we talked about this morning, we held on to it and we planted it in the soil of our heart. And then we carried the seed of what they said or she said, and then we didn't let go, we didn't forgive, and then we wait, and then offense starts springing up, and bitterness starts, and backbiting starts springing up, and we wonder where it came from. And then we say we're under attack. Can I go there? I'm sorry, I'm just going to be real this morning. And I'm feeling under attack by the enemy. I'm not saying we don't get attacked by the enemy, but we better check our heart to see what's in there, because sometimes God wants to uproot what we're trying to cast off, right? I'm under attack. I must be under spiritual warfare. It's really bad today. Well, I'm not mocking spiritual warfare. It's real, all right? But sometimes we got to check our heart, because God's saying, hey, I just want to, if I can just remind you to forgive that person, you might find that there's a lot less spiritual warfare in that part of your, right? Anybody? Or is that just me this week? Maybe that was just for me. All right, I'm speaking from my own life here. Jesus didn't anchor his identity in his ministry, but in his Father. Right? Before Jesus did any public ministry, he got baptized, and Father God affirmed who he is and who he was and forever will be, right? And so often, we can abide, we can stay in our works, or we can stay in our past. All of us have a tendency to stay in something other than Jesus. It might be unique to your story or what you've been through. And God this morning wants us to circle back and stay with him. Just like Jesus said, before I do any miracles, I'm gonna stay in the words of my Father. Amen? Are you following? Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit or self-control. That sounds like a staycation I am signing up for. Amen? But that is called fruit. Can we just say fruit of a staycation? A staycation of an abiding life in Jesus. Amen? Often we want the fruit of abiding without checking what we're abiding in. But what you abide in defines what fruit you produce. What you abide in defines what fruit you produce. And hey, in a split second, Jesus can uproot what has been planted in you years ago, and you can be free in a moment. This isn't a hopeless word. This is a hopeful freedom word. Amen? But he wants to uproot some stuff in our lives so that we can purely abide in him and bear fruit like we were designed to in Jesus. Amen? So I want you to ask you this morning, what are you abiding in? What are you remaining in your thoughts? What is dominating your thoughts? What's dominating your time? Jesus wants to come in, and he wants to breathe life, and he wants to uproot any beliefs, any lies that we've been remaining in, dwelling in, staying in. He wants to speak his truth that sets us free. He wants to set free our hearts today. Who you are with on a staycation matters, because it defines your whole time. Who you are with, like I said, if you've ever been on a trip with the wrong person, including yourself, and you've got a week left, I don't care if you're in the Bahamas, you want to come home. How many know a staycation in your home in peace and shalom with the fruit of the Spirit is a lot better than a vacation somewhere else with the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit? And Jesus died so that we could stay in him no matter what's going on around us, like I said last week. Amen? Have you ever heard it said that you become like the top five people you spend time with? Who you abide in transforms you. I'll say the top three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How's that? But it's real. The top five people, I don't know if top 10, I don't know who said it first. Someone made up a number and they're like, that's it, right? That'll go viral. But it is real. We become like what we abide in. You know, when I was growing up years ago, I wasn't allowed to watch some TV shows because the kids like back-talked to their mom. Now, of course, I found myself watching a couple of those in my rebellious, you know, middle-agedness that I'm in. But now that I have a daughter, I was watching a show yesterday and I was like, how dare they speak to their parent that way? She's listening at 3 months old. I got to put the headphones back on her, right? Because we become like what we hear and what we're around, amen? But we are not victim to what we're around either. How many know you can abide in Christ and be surrounded by the opposite, and you can bear fruit that looks like Jesus? Some of our workplaces don't look like Jesus, but that doesn't mean you're just supposed to quit. It means we're supposed to go in abiding in him and produce fruit, right? And so this is an invitation this morning to ask, what am I staying in? What am I remaining in? What am I in right now? Because it determines what I'm transformed into. If I forget who Jesus is or have become overly familiar with who he is, I will reset my life on my own expectations and desires rather than on Jesus. And that is called dead religion. Can we just say dead religion this morning? If you know our mission statement out there, it's to forget dead religion. And I know that might seem controversial or like, well, what does that mean? Well, dead religion means anything that is not giving life, right? We know good religion. We're not against religion, right? Although I like relationship because of the English word better. But we're against dead religion. And so the Sadducees lived in dead religion. Dead religion can sound like this. Jesus will respond to it this way in Matthew 22. You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. How many know you don't want Jesus saying that to you? That is not on my bucket list, right? But that's what Jesus said to the Sadducees because they were stuck in dead religion. They were living in empty tradition. That's what they were staying in, right? Would you want to stay with judging your every move with condemnation? Would you want to stay with thinking you don't have enough time to do what you need to do? Do you want to stay with overwhelmed by obligation? Do you want to stay stacked in opinions that are just stacking on you till you can't move from the pressure? But some of us, that's where we're staycationing right now. That's where we're living our lives, our minds, our emotions, our time. And that's the land of dead religion that the Sadducees lived in. You may find yourself on a staycation in dead religion. That's a terrible place to be. When I forget who Jesus is, I will reset my schedule, my relationships or marriage, my parenting, my work ethic, my finances, and I will reset them on trauma instead of Jesus's healing, bitterness instead of forgiveness and grace, chaos instead of shalom peace, lack instead of abundant life. Am I just preaching to myself this morning? That's my testimony. That's where I'm going to go. I'm not talking at you. I'm saying that's where I've been. When I forget who Jesus is or I become overly familiar with who our Savior is, I reset and I start staycationing with someone that I don't want to be with. Have you ever sat down with a spouse or a friend on vacation that you're on a trip with and you're like, wait, what do you like to do for fun? Right? You're like, I tell you what, Brian and I, we lead the church together, right? And some people are like, oh, that's so cool. Like you get to pastor together, right? And I'm a PK, so I grew up in a pastor's home. So I know like pastoring together, that's been my whole life, right? Write a book, I am, but not right now. I'm still writing it, right, with my life. But when you run a business together or you run a church together or you run anything together, we've got some business owners in the second row that ran some stuff together. How many know that then when you come home to sit down at the dinner table, you're like, wait, are you, what do we talk about? right? What do you talk about? Are we just going to talk shop? Wait, who are you? What do we do? What do you like to do for fun? Or what do you like? What are we doing? What's your favorite food? I'll never forget, someone asked me like Brian's favorite color, and I was like, I got nothing. But we do run a church together, and we do love each other a lot, right? Why? Well, because you can get going in life so much with somebody that you actually become overly familiar with who they are, and you think you know them, but it can just go right out the back window, right? And so next month is Family Month. I'm so excited because we're inviting you to invest 4 to 5 hours the whole month, if you come every Sunday, in transforming your home life. I don't care if you're single, you're retired, you've got little kids, it's going to apply to us all, because thriving homes transform cities. But some of us need to just go out to coffee with the person that we like, whether it's a spouse or a friend or whatever your life season is, and say, hey, remind me who you are again. What's your favorite color? What do you like to do for fun? Right? The worst time that comes up is when it's Christmas and you don't know what to get them because you have no idea what their interest is, right? But you love them. You'd give your life up for them. That's the weird thing about Christianity. I give my life up for you, but I don't know what your favorite food is, right? We got to get better at community, right? And so this fall, we're going to be getting better at community together. But let me circle back to my message here. It can be the same with Jesus. We can become like ships passing in the night with him, and we can start being more familiar with dead religion than our Savior who died to set us free from it. If we're honest, we can slip into thinking that dead religion is who Jesus is. But when you're on a vacation or a staycation, when you're just living life, life is stripped away, and suddenly you are left with a person. And I think sometimes worship is uncomfortable, because the noise has stopped from the week. And maybe the worship team's hitting it off the charts, or they're not. And suddenly, we're with Jesus. And I forgot what he likes to do. I forgot how he likes to spend time with me. I forgot how I like to spend time with him. Can we be real this morning? I was having a hard week, as I said, and last night I had the option to eat dinner or do something else for 5 minutes while my husband bathed our child. And I went to go into the kitchen to eat dinner, and I was like, I don't want to eat dinner. I want to do something with Jesus. I just want to do something. But then I was like, I want to do something with Jesus, too. So there was an art pad on the table. I credit Danielle. She got me into art again. There will be another Art Connect small group in the fall. I'm so excited. I've been counting down the days. And it was just at the table, and I whipped out some acrylic paint, and I just dabbed it all over the paper, and then I smeared it with a paintbrush. It was 5 minutes. And then I went back, and I put my daughter's diaper on with my husband, and I was like, I just painted a picture. And he was like, right now? Like, what? And I was like, yes. It's nothing to brag about. But I felt this invitation to do something with Jesus, right? Maybe you hate art. I don't care. It doesn't need to be. You can go build something or whatever. It doesn't matter. Go sit in silence. But sometimes during worship, we feel uncomfortable and we blame the musicians or the set list or the lights or the temperature or whatever it is, instead of realizing, oh, I forgot who Jesus is. He's more than enough. I worshiped with refugees in Lesbos, Greece years ago. And we were in this little church with wooden pews, and everyone was sitting on the floor and jammed in there. There were so many people in this little room. The room was probably the size of all the chairs in the middle together. And everybody's singing in their own language. Now, in that moment, I have the opportunity to blame and be like, well, I couldn't enter into worship because I didn't even know what everyone was singing. Right? Anyone ever done that? I've done that. I'm like, I don't know what the words are, right? Shout out to the lyrics. Yes, Jesus. But in that moment, I had the opportunity to just do that or to say, oh, wow, everybody's encountering Jesus. I'm going to lead myself in worship. We're all worship leaders of our own hearts. So I just want to start to close here because we're going to go into baptisms. And I want to invite us to be reintroduced to Jesus this morning. Whether it's for the first time, and if that's the case, I want to invite you to ask Jesus into your heart to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And we, if that's you, go to the back corner afterwards. We'd love to follow up with you and help you take your next step. Or maybe for some of us, it's for the first time, 1,000 times again. That's a worship song I wrote here years ago when I was doing more worship leading, and it said, I want to meet you for the first time, 1,000 times again. That's all there was. I never got any more lyrics for the song. I was like, that'd be a hit. I was like, I got nothing else, because that's the whole point. I want to meet you for the first time, 1,000 times again. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So I want to invite you, if you want to close your eyes or whatever you want to do, just to focus for a minute. I'm going to just read out who Jesus is. Now, I'm proud of you guys. No one got really scared, because if I really did that, we'd be here till eternity. But I'm just going to read a couple things of who Jesus is. Let me reintroduce you to the one who changed water into wine. That's John 2. Who delivers people, Mark 1. Who cures illnesses, Mark 1, Matthew 8, 9, and so on. Who raises the dead, Luke 7. Who stills storms, Matthew 8. Who opens eyes and opens our mouths to speak, Matthew 9. He feeds thousands, Matthew 14. He himself rose from the dead, Luke 24. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's filled with wisdom, stature, and favor. He knows what we go through, has been fully tempted, but is without sin. He's got holes in his hands and his feet and his side. He was despised, rejected, and acquainted with grief. He welcomes the kids, the broken, the lost, the rich, the poor, the hated, and the loved. He isn't misinformation, he isn't an agenda, and he isn't dead religion. It says in Revelation 1, the hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. Just go to a waterfall around here to hear that. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. He destroyed the devil's work. All authority is in him, in heaven and on earth. He is praying for you right now, and he's coming back again. Can we just say the name of Jesus? Yeah. But he also ate, fasted, got tired, slept, worked a job, cried, had joy, and is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, would you just remind us who you are this morning? Jesus doesn't just love you, he likes you. He doesn't have to be with you. He wants to be with you. He wasn't forced to pay the price of your sin. He wanted to. And he isn't dreading eternity with you. He can't wait. I know we don't do pauses in church much, but we should. We don't have a lot of other areas to pause in. Let's just pause for just a moment and think of Jesus. If you haven't been experiencing that fruit of the Spirit in your life, it's because we have exchanged truth for lies. And God wants to take out some of those seeds because he wants to bear good fruit. He wants to invite us to abide, to staycation in him, in your family, your household, in every area of your life. There is no area where he doesn't want to stay with you. And some of us have a hard time thinking of what it means for a Father God to want to stay with us, because maybe we didn't have that growing up. A message I preached several years back, it keeps popping up on Facebook, And it says, God is not a step-parent that we visit on the weekends. I don't know what sermon that was. Must have been a gut puncher, because that's pretty strong. But God is not a step-parent that we stay with on the weekends. He wants to stay with us. He wants us to stay with him. So when you're baptized and you're born again, you receive the love and affirmation of God, and his presence and peace goes with you wherever you go. It's the sign of a new beginning. And so this morning, we're going to transition here into baptisms, but I wanted to invite us just to be reintroduced to Jesus, because baptisms are going to happen. We're going to have a song. Pastor Brian's supposed to be in here. Maybe Natalie, you can go get him. But we're going to just recenter on Jesus. And I want to invite you, even if you're not getting baptized this morning, to just remember who he is and invite him into your life again. Amen? So why don't we stand on our feet? I want to bless you today with God's love that can deliver you. It can cure you from any sickness today. It can still the storms in your life today. It can open your eyes and your ears to hear God even for the first time today. God's love is pouring out right now, and it's feeding the depths of your soul. And he conquered death for you and paves the way to abundant life for you. So thank you, Jesus, for who you are this morning. We celebrate you in this place. We thank you that you are our Savior. We can't be. And we give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.